Because you can consider within the medical scope of what they can do, like, okay, sure, we're benefiting this. But then they don't have responsibility for, you know, out in near the equator where people are suffering from heat stroke because we keep admitting carbon emissions kind of thing. They're like, no, we must focus on this one patient because that's their only duty. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that is arguable. Like, from different perspectives, people will argue different things about that. But for the desflurane as well, I know that desflurane, it already does not have really a significant impact on, you know, post-operative complications after surgery. You know, there is reported to be faster wake-up times and slight benefits. But overall, like, I don't think that should be used if it emits, you know, 25,000 times the amount of carbon dioxide. Like, that doesn't justify this slightly longer, slightly faster wake-up time for some patients. And as well with the desflurane, it's already banned or not used in multiple countries. So in England, for example, in early 2024, they don't use it anymore, or they only allow it for certain special cases. So it's not used in routine practice. And as well, the entire European Union also prohibited from this year, January 1st and onwards, unless it's very medical necessary. So I think by also seeing what the other countries are doing about this desflurane particularly, it's like, well, you know, I think we have to kind of go with global consensus in a way and go against their clinical autonomy. But that's still debatable.
Yeah, because even if it's going against clinical autonomy, it's not necessarily threatening human life. Like, it's not sacrificing as much human life that could be sacrificed in the future, because they're talking about, you know, theoretical future generations. Like, why should we prioritize them? But, you know, they're not theoretical, and it's also happening right now. It's not even future generations.
It's like, we have to consider, you know, not even just humans, like, we have to consider humans now, consider humans in the future, children, the animals. Like, we have to, I feel like we have to also consider their health and their, you know, consider their moral, because we can't, are we saying that we are better than them and that we have more moral worth than animals and the environment? It's like, right. I feel like we have to consider everything involved over, you know, this specific minority. So it gets really into the idea, and I feel like we're both heading into this theory that it's an issue of utilitarianism, because we are saying to sacrifice or for the greater good to risk these surgery patients for, you know, helping climate change, which will impact everyone.
It is, like, this specific issue, I feel like, is constrained by the system that we live in, right? Like, we can't make all of these huge decisions that will immediately fix climate change because we're still constrained under capitalism. But I feel like it is a good jumping off point to talk about concepts like utilitarianism, because that's a lot of what climate change justice is kind of about too, is like, we need to make certain sacrifices, obviously, for the majority of people. Like, if we want to decommission like drilling for gas or the mining industry or something, like, we know that people will lose their jobs and probably lose a lot of their livelihoods, and that's going to be difficult to recover from, but it's still, you know, that their contribution to that industry is also what makes it sustain itself and keep harming the environment. So
yeah,
there's a lot of, like, trade-offs that need to be made to make actual progress on climate justice.
And I feel like it's also interesting because people have a pretty negative connotation about utilitarianism, especially now, because it's like, oh, we're not even thinking about, we're just thinking about people as numbers in a way. But I think with this case particularly, because the risk is so minimal to the patients, like, faster wake-up time and, you know, slightly more infection. Okay, I feel like we can let this happen, especially when it also comes down to the skills of the medical staff as well for administrating these things and doing these things. And it shouldn't surpass, you know, yeah, the suffering of the rest of the world, and especially, you know, disproportionately the people who are disadvantaged and marginalized because we can't see it over here. You know, like, we're over here like, oh, sometimes it rains more, sometimes it's hotter in the summer. But then there are people displaced. There are people with infections, like, dying from diseases because it was spread by heat and insects through the heat. So, yeah, it's just, it's a hard theory to apply in general, but I feel like, yeah, it does apply in this case.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I don't think we provided a definition of utilitarianism, but it's basically the greatest good for the greatest majority of people is what's morally right. And I think, like, yeah, there is, you know, issues with that for sure, such as the tyranny of the majority, where, you know, if it benefits most people but really harms, like, a select few, then, you know, that's okay, and some concessions can't be made for them. But in terms of, like, the global population, I do feel like utilitarianism could be even more fair than thinking about it from another perspective, because the global majority are also, like, people of color. Like, we always talk about people of color, like, oh, they're the minorities, right? Like, in Western culture, but actually globally, like, the population, they are the majority, and a lot of places where they live, like DJ Coco was saying, like, near the equator and stuff, like, those are the ones who are going to be most deeply affected by climate change. So if we look at it from a utilitarian point of view, at least for the sake of this debate or argument, like, it kind of makes sense to follow with those conditions of utilitarianism, at least.
Definitely. I feel like it could also be debatable, because what would you think if we had the same case, but then those patients would die?
Yeah, like, extending it even like further.
Because I think right now it's an easier thing to debate because the risk is so minimal, even though there are objections. But if those patients were to actually die and we would kill Halo, let's say, like,
we're going to kill them.
I know, like, somehow they're dying, and now we have to debate if that we should save them or we should save climate change and everyone.
Because this isn't necessarily going to save climate change either, because we are still extrapolating, like, oh yeah, this is going to save future generations, but there is something to say for the fact that the, like, hospitals don't contribute, like, a ton.
Yeah, it's 5% of 5%. Global carbon emissions, which is, like, it's a dent, but it's 95% of it is still left to do. So there is something to say about, you know, what kind of dent are we putting on of mitigating
and
climate
change. And it
kind
of feels like organizations or even, like, hospitals. I don't know. Was a hospital, like, an organization or a corporation?
Neither.
Well, groups, I guess. What was I going to say, though? No, I lost it. But, oh, I guess, like, yeah, groups or organizations or corporations are all putting, like, kind of, it's almost like greenwashing in a way. Like, if, okay, yeah, hospitals can, you know, eliminate single-use plastics, but there probably is something more that they could do, I wonder. And they're just like, okay, we're facing a lot of pressure to be more green, right? And, you know, let's do it in this way. And I think a lot of, like, when BC transferred to only, like, no plastic bags being allowed and, you know, no plastic straws or something like that, it genuinely does not have too big of an impact. So that's, like, another thing just to think about, not necessarily to do with this debate, but
more of a hopeless kind of feeling. Yeah,
like, how much is this actually gonna do to help people near the equator?
But then it's
people,
like,
in global south,
I feel like, if also, but if we do nothing, because within utilitarianism there's act utilitarianism, and so it considers the morality of the act itself. So for this case, like, one use of desflurane or, you know, one use of the single-use instrument, you know, negligible. But then if we have everyone doing it, like, all hospitals in the world, we're all allowing desflurane, we're all allowing single-use plastics, it would have a global impact. But I think it's just that jump between how do we get everyone to bandwagon and do this together. But I guess, like, it has to start somewhere.
For sure, yeah. But I'm not saying
we
shouldn't
do
this, but just, like, in addition to other things. But I also want to go back to, yeah, like, if these people were to die from complications by, you know, enforcing a greener system in the hospital. It does kind of lead back to the question too, like, we are viewing it as if human life is like the most important thing to protect in the world, right?
Yeah.
And it's really hard not to view issues of morality like that, because we are human. We understand, well, maybe we don't even understand how valuable human life is, but that is where a lot of our morality revolves around. And like, if we were to consider the animals and the environment as, you know, also living, breathing things, mm-hmm. how would that change how we make our decisions? If we're always putting ourselves at the top, you know, that's also not going to help us in future generations either. Mm. So
what would your take be then? Let's say that it's the same situation.
Like, so would you rather
like, would these people die and then you would have an impact on climate change? Like, it wouldn't solve it, but it would help mitigate it.
This how one is close is it to like being mitigated in this hypothetical though? And how many people are dying?
Let me think of some numbers. Let's say we're gonna cut climate change by half, but we have to kill 1 million surgery patients. What do you think now? What are your thoughts? Let's up the stakes here.
I think no. If we are going to be targeting surgery patients as the scapegoats of climate change, like, these are the people who probably, like, do not deserve it. Like, these are just your average person.
Yeah, some of these people have cancer. Most of them are elderly, you know? Like, we're just, like...
Is this the only way to solve climate change? Yeah, half of it. Like, yeah. Okay, if I could solve half of it...
Like, we're not, you know, half of suffering of all Earth. You know, we're... And I mean, half is a lot, too. We could...
There's
half of our carbon emissions are gone, you know?
If planet. I could choose, like, the top 1% or something, like, all of them, it's a good trade-off, but this is a more difficult moral situation. How about you? What would you say?
I don't know. I've been thinking about it. I'm still leaning on the yes side, to be honest, but...
But imagine that person, like, those people who are dying could be, like, related to you in some way, because that changes as well.
I mean, how related are we talking about? If it's like a third cousin, you know, we can sacrifice this.
No.
No.
Like, directly related family.
It'd have to fully solve climate change. I wouldn't do
it. Would you sacrifice your own mother for this?
For full climate change?
Yes.
Next question.
We're taking this so
extreme.
This
is too serious now.
I think that's like... almost impossible to answer, because it's also just so wrong to sacrifice these people rather than just getting corporations to not even restructure, because I don't even know if restructuring would help, but to be obliterated. I don't know.
I mean, that's the core issue of utilitarianism, that everyone, you know, is why everyone's like, oh, it's considered, you know, kind of old school now, because you don't consider the people involved. Like, It, from a utilitarianism perspective, I would have killed my mom to save climate change.
Right?
So, you know, it can't be black and white like that sometimes, because the other theories also say, like, you know, we have to have some sort of morals between the people that we like in our lives. And, you know, there's things like virtue ethics that talk about this, and the ethics of care, you know, that relate to that, and also like surgeon autonomy and caring for the patient too. But yeah, it just always depends on the case, and I think it's hard to stick to one theory all the time.
Yeah, I mean that's morality though, yeah, too. It's like, so many schools of thought around morality have a lot of objections and thought experiments where, you know, they actually don't work in this situation.
Yeah.
And you can't actually apply them to all of your whole life. I mean, sucks not to have an easy solution to all of the questions of ethics, but
I don't know how people are just utilitarianism or just this. Like,
yeah, so strictly.
Is that too strict? There's no way. But then it's like, how do we agree on anything, or how do we think things? Like, it's just all up to our feelings at that point.
Yep.
But anyways, I think that's the end of our discussion for there.
And there's a lot of questions. It's hard to get to the bottom of them too. But
morality of a pig, yeah. Morality of animal, you know. But that's another topic we'll have to do in the future.
Yeah, like what is more important, a human's life or like the life of 3,000 trees? You know what I mean? Like, what is our system of values here?
Yeah, would you kill a human for
3,000 trees?
That's 30,000 trees.
3 million. All the trees on Earth.
One human. Yeah.
For all the trees on Earth, I probably
It's your enemy, too.
Okay. I would not kill my enemy.
For 3 million trees?
Oh, for 3 million. No. Okay. For this specific debate, should they enforce green mandates or leave it up to the surgeons?
Okay, we're going back to the case.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to
bring
it back, ground us once more in what is tangible.
You don't want to kill your enemy?
I don't have an enemy. I don't think.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm taking things too far. Go back to this.
No, it's good that we're taking it far, but it's just the further we take it, the less answers we will receive. True. So we're trying to leave you all listening with at least a concrete answer on something.
I think yes. I think we should, and the Vancouver General Hospital should, enforce these green mandates because, you know, of this universal consequence of climate change. And because the risks are minimal and they're also minimized because, you know, people can have surgery with a different type of anesthesia, which is considered clinically safe, too. So,
yeah, I agree. I also say yes. At this point, it's a very easy yes to declare because of the limited risks. But the more risks there are, the more questions there are as to should we be targeting hospitals, which are where people are most vulnerable, to be the bearers of battling climate change, or should we, you know, try to restructure or change the system that is you know, most responsible for it.
And the fact that it's not like we're instantly solving climate change, we're not going to really see much difference at all after implementing these measures. But maybe it's just the moral feeling that we've done something better.
Yeah, there might be some small impacts, but it's kind of like, oh, going vegan, or you know, like a community of people doing
going
that.
Vegan.
Yeah, but it's okay. We can get back to the music because we have some good songs left still.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to head back into our EDM accidental special episode because we both chose all EDM, or at least all electronic songs. So this next one is actually more of a low-key or not slower song, but it's more of a house song, so not as super upbeat, but this one is called Closer Than Before by Fyodor Talmont and Epiro. So, hope you enjoy.
Enjoy!
recuerdo esa noche de París. Tu puesto de morir, yo puesto de cara a mí. Tus ojos mirando mi París. Luego me ofreciste un vaso con Hennessy, bien acelerado.
Atención.
Yuca Stereo. Domingos 6 a 8 p.m.
6 a 8 p.m.
90.1 CJSF
Radio.
CJSF
90.1
Chango.
90.1 FM. Yuca Stereo.
Yuca Stereo.
Atención.
Thank you.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM. You're tuning into Slumber Party. I'm DJ Star.
Oh, I'm DJ Coco. Sorry, I just yawned.
Yeah, we're just both zoning out immediately. That song that you just heard was Fallen Anyas by Fouda Kouch. And before that was Acceleradas, also by Fouda Kouch, but also MJ Nebrada. That whole album is really, really good. She just released it. You should go check it out. But yeah, I think we're wrapping it up for today. Thank you for tuning in. Next up is Lynn's open mic, and then after that is Bitcoover with our music director, Connor. And yeah, we'll see you next week.
Mm-hmm. Do we have enough time for a song?
Yeah, we can throw like one minute worth of a song.
1 minute worth.
This song is Naima Frank, and it is Ansi Sot Il.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Encore une nuit bien arrosée, ma valeur s'écoule goutte à goutte et la taille sur les peaux cassées. Une histoire si bien ficelée, ton amour est fin muselé. Je suis la douce, c'est mon cœur qui s'est noyé. À qui la faute et qui les mots qui glissent et vite se brisent sur ma peau. Nos larmes séchées en crasse l'écho. La tempête a grisé, le silence sonne. Y'a tes cris qui résonnent, la douleur cogne.
See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.